Welcome to the One God Report podcast. This is Bill Schlegel, and this is episode number 111. The title of the episode is The Top 5 New Testament Verses Which Show That Jesus Is Not God. If you haven't heard the previous podcast, we started a countdown of the top 10 verses which show that Jesus is not God. We looked at numbers 10 through 6. If you haven't heard that episode yet, you'd probably want to check out those verses as well, because as I mentioned, it's a bit difficult to really determine which verse is more important than another one. And there are so many scriptures that prove or that are evidences that Jesus is not God. As I mentioned in the previous episode, as a Trinitarian, we had a group of verses that we thought claim Jesus is God. There's not so many, but there's a handful. And we didn't really pay attention to scriptures that are saying that Jesus is not God. If we did notice them at all, we would kind of sweep them under the rug. But I think it's about time for Trinitarian and Deity of Christ believers to take a good, honest look at the scriptures that show that Jesus is not God, rather that Jesus is a real human person whom God has exalted to God's right hand. Just a couple of quick comments about the reactions to the previous episode. For many Deity of Christ believers, there's not a lot of people that simply say, here, let me explain to you Romans 5:15, which says that through one man's trespass, that's Adam, many died, and that through one man, Jesus Christ, the gift in the grace of God come. Well, a lot of people say, well, yeah, of course we believe Jesus is a man. But that's the point here. It's not through a God-man that God's gift comes to us. It's through the one man. There's no description in the New Testament about the necessity of Jesus being God or something like that. Or we mentioned John 8:40. Jesus said, you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Now, why would he say that if he's God or a God-man? Why fool the people? Nobody really explained these verses, or nobody really explains well the reason that in so many scriptures, Jesus has a God. The Lord Jesus Christ has a God. The God of our fathers is the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's differentiated from the God of our fathers. He's differentiated from God. And you can come up with sort of some weird explanations how, yeah, as another person in the Trinity, he submits himself to the Father. But why would the Father be called Jesus as God? I don't call my dad my God. But actually, like I say, not many people really try to explain the verses. Instead, what they'll do is they'll come up with another suggestion. Well, what about Hebrews 1:8? And what about John 1:1? And what about this verse or that verse? And if you do a little searching, even on my podcasts or blog or many other places on the internet these days, you can find explanations for all such verses that better fit the biblical evidence, that indeed give better insight into what such verses really mean. Look at Hebrews 1:8 is not declaring that Jesus is God. Just go to Hebrews 1:9, first of all. He has a God again in the next verse. Or are you really saying that the King described in Psalm 45, which Hebrews 1:8 is a quote of, that he's God? He's going to get married to a princess and have children. So these verses are all better understood in a non-deity of Christ context. I mean, start with the One God Report podcast. Start with my blog. Just search Hebrews 1:8. In some ways, I feel sorry for the people, because as a former Trinitarian, I know that I was in that bubble. And I'd never heard of the view that Jesus is a real human person whom God has raised from the dead and put at his right hand. I would always say, well, yeah, sort of, but he's really God. But I never knew another option was out there. In a lot of ways, it's ignorance. When I hear these arguments, oh, Jesus is worshipped, he must be God. That's so ignorant to think that. Or, hey, Jesus is called Lord. Doesn't that mean he's Almighty God? Come on, really? Pastors, help out these people. The people that make these kinds of claims are like sheep without a shepherd. It really shows a certain amount of biblical ignorance to make such claims. But let's continue our countdown now. Well, actually, before I continue it, I'm going to quote-unquote cheat a little bit. I'm going to give one more verse that will connect this in with the previous number 6 verse. Again, partly because I was having trouble fitting these verses into 10. But look at 1 Corinthians 15:21. I won't even number this one. We'll consider this one like a 5.5. Our verse number 6 was Romans 5:15, which shows that through one man came sin and death, and through one man, Jesus Christ, the gift and the grace of God come through that one man. Well, 1 Corinthians 15:21 is another similar verse. And like I said, for one God believers, these verses are, they're important ones for us to know about as we discuss with other people who God is and who the man Christ Jesus is. But 1 Corinthians 15:21, we'll say this is number 5.5. Paul says, "For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead." Unquote. Now that verse is clear, explicit. There really isn't any way to get around what Paul believed. Paul did not say that Jesus had to be God to atone for our sin or something like that. He says quite the contrary, directly to the contrary. So this is why I don't believe this philosophical speculation that somehow Jesus had to be God in order to be a sufficient enough payment for sin or something like this. Because Paul says exactly the opposite. 1 Corinthians 15:21. "For as by a man came death," of course he's thinking of Adam again, "through one human person death has spread to all men." Paul continues, "by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead." The resurrection of the dead has come not through a God, not through a God-man. Yes, God is involved because God raises him from the dead, but the resurrection has come by a man, Christ Jesus. That's 1 Corinthians 15:21. All right, now, verse number 5 that shows that Jesus is not God. Acts 17:31. Paul is preaching in Athens, Greece, and he's calling on the people to repent and acknowledge who the true God is. He says in Acts 17:31, "Because he," that's God, "has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this, he has given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead." Unquote. Again, that's Acts 17:31. So notice a few things in this verse. If anybody could have grasped the idea that a God-man was necessary for the redemption and reconciliation of us to God, it would have been the people in Athens. In Greek, they had all kinds of gods and God-men. But here's what Paul says. The one singular self, individual God, he has fixed a day on which he, not they, he will judge the world in righteousness, not by a God-man, by a man, a human being, a human person, whom he has appointed. That is, God has appointed a man. And how do we know that God has given this authority to judge to a man? He has given us assurance to us by raising him from the dead. God raised the human being, the human person, the man Christ Jesus from the dead. A human being will be my and your judge. Yes, that human being has been given that authority by God to judge. As Jesus said in John 5:27, God the Father has given to him the authority to execute judgment. That authority is not innately Jesus. The authority that Jesus has been given to him by God the Father, the only God. Just like Jesus said in Matthew, "All authority has been given to me." It was not his innately. That authority was given to Jesus by God. So that's our verse number 5, Acts 17:31. God has given authority to a man whom he has raised from the dead. Now, number 4, Acts 2:22 And I have to throw in another verse here. I know I'm not being fair. It's actually more than one verse here, but Acts 2:22 and verse 36. I'm going to take a couple of verses from Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, just after Jesus was raised from the dead. And here's what he says to the people of Israel listening to him in Jerusalem. Quote, Acts 2:22. "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." Peter goes on to say, "You put him to death, but God raised him from the dead." And then he sums up that part of his sermon in verse 36 of Acts 2. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Unquote. So let's go back for a second to verse 22. Peter says that Jesus of Nazareth is a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him. This is how Jesus did miracles. God, the Father, was at work in and through Jesus. Jesus is a man through whom God worked. Peter says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain." Please listen to this. Peter starts out by saying, "Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel." Same with us Gentiles. We need to listen to what Peter says. "Know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, here is a man that God made Lord, and God made him Christ. Acts 2:22 and verse 36 pull the rug out from any deity of Christ, Trinitarian speculations about who Jesus Christ was, from the mouth of Peter. In fact, as I think I said before in the previous session, the book of Acts explains exactly who Jesus is. If we would just listen to the sermons of the apostles, Peter and Paul, in the book of Acts, all the description of who Jesus is, there's no talk about God or God-man or the deity of Jesus. There's no presentation that God is a Trinity. The people of Israel in that first century and the Gentiles in that first century, they heard nothing about a triune God or a second divine figure who is equal with the Father. They heard about a man who is attested by God, whom God worked through, and God raised from the dead and made him Lord in Christ and sat him at God's right hand. Imagine that, a human person, a human being at the right hand of God. Number 3, New Testament verse that shows that Jesus is not God. 1 Timothy 2:4-5. I'll read it. Paul says, "God desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." I'm going to stop there for a second. God wants all humans to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And here's what the knowledge of the truth is, Paul says in the next verse. "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, a man, Christ Jesus." Period. That's the truth. There's one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, and that one mediator is not God. That one mediator is not a God-man. The one mediator is a man, or the man, Christ Jesus. That's who our mediator is. If you don't have the man, Christ Jesus, and that eliminates a God-man, Christ Jesus, because the man, Christ Jesus, is not the God-man, Christ Jesus. Those are two different persons, two different figures. One of them is an imposter. You can't tell me, "Bill, yeah, I believe Jesus is a man." You're fooling yourself. Because the man, Christ Jesus, is not the God-man, Christ Jesus. if you think your mediator is the God Christ Jesus or the God-man Christ Jesus, that's a different mediator than the man Christ Jesus. Number two, verse from the New Testament that shows that Jesus is not God. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Paul says, "Yet for us," speaking about believers, "yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all and for whom we exist." Now, I'll stop there for a second. Can he be any clearer that for Christians, the one God is not a triune being, nor is the one God a two-personed being? He says, for us, there is one God, the Father, from whom are all and for whom we exist. And then he continues, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all and through whom we exist. As we saw, as Peter declared, that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. He is our human Lord, the human Christ, the top human being at the right hand of God. He's differentiated from the one God. Paul says, the one God for us is the Father. And our one human Lord, the Lord of all human lords, is Jesus Christ. When I read 1 Corinthians 8:6, and remember, I was a Trinitarian teacher in a Christian college for decades, I was amazed that I had never paid attention to this verse where Paul said, yet for us there is one God, the Father. In my mind, I said, that's it. How come I never saw that before? This is so clear and explicit that the one God is the Father. And then I was surprised to see that Trinitarian Deity of Christ scholars take this verse and twist it and contort it into some other kind of declaration where they're trying to think that Paul was including Jesus in who the one God is. That's exactly what they're doing. They're twisting and contorting and trying to fit somehow Jesus into the one God. They think that somehow Paul is calling Jesus Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh here, but they're ignoring everything else that Paul says about Jesus Christ being Lord. God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, Paul said, and the Lord Jesus Christ has brothers. So you're not understanding what Paul means by Lord if you think he's calling Jesus Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh in this verse. Again, it is so clear, for us there is one God, the Father. Trinitarian friends, for me, like for the Apostle Paul, there is one God. And that one God is not the Trinity. That one God is not Jesus. For me, there is one God, the Father. Before we get to the number one New Testament verse which shows that Jesus is not God, there are a number of honorable mentions, and I'm sure probably missed some verses, and I'm sure in different contexts there are other even more important verses. But let me mention a few of the other honorable mention verses. And one of those would be a category of so many scriptures that say that somebody other than Jesus raised him from the dead, like 1 Corinthians 6:14. Paul says, and God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Okay, God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. As I mentioned, this shows you that in Paul's mind, the Lord is not Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. The Lord Jesus has a God. God raised the Lord. Jesus didn't raise himself. Somebody's going to point to John chapter 2 and say, oh, Jesus said he raised himself. Search my blog. I have a nice discussion about the two verses in the Gospel of John that people think Jesus claimed that he raised himself from the dead. There are so many New Testament verses that declare that someone other than Jesus, that is, God, some New Testament verses say specifically the Father raised the Lord from the dead. Here's another one, Romans 10:9. You have to believe in your heart that God raised him. That's the Lord Jesus from the dead. That God raised him from the dead. Paul just said, him is the Lord Jesus. God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. Like I say, there's so many of these kinds of verses. Here's one from Acts 5. This would be Peter. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. Yet the God of our fathers raised Jesus. That is, Jesus is not the God of our fathers. The God of our fathers raised Jesus. Peter says in Acts chapter 3 that Jesus is the servant of the God of our fathers. So that whole category of verses, which 1 Corinthians 6:14, Romans 10:9, etc., illustrate that God raised the Lord. These show that Jesus is not God. And then there's the famous Matthew 24:36, where Jesus says about the time of his return, he says, quote, "Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only," unquote. So here is supposedly God speaking, and he doesn't know when he's coming back. By the way, where's the Holy Spirit in that one? Jesus says the angels don't know it, the Son doesn't know it, but only the Father knows it, right? So if you think that Jesus is God, co-equal, and has omniscience like the Father, this is a problem verse. Or when Jesus says in John 14:28, "The Father is greater than I." I mean, what kind of a statement is that for a co-equal, co-eternal divine being, to have somebody that's greater than he is? That doesn't work for Trinitarianism. And then in John 5:19, Jesus says that he can do nothing by his own power. I mean, what kind of a thing is this for God to say that he can do nothing by his own power? You see, this is not a statement of Almighty God. This is a statement of somebody who has been sent by God and authorized and equipped and empowered by God. Jesus does nothing on his own, by his own power. He did the things he did and said the things he said because God empowered him. Again, like Peter said in Acts 2:22, Jesus of Nazareth is a man who is attested by God through the things that God did through him and in him. So I'm sure I'm leaving some verses out, but these are just a few examples of honorable mentions that probably could have fit somewhere in this list of 10, but it's difficult to get it down to 10 actual verses. I'd be interested to hear some of the ones that I've left out. Please go ahead and make some comments in the One God Report Facebook group or on my YouTube page. And then the number one verse in the New Testament, which shows that Jesus is not God. I'll have to say John 17:3. Jesus is praying just before he's arrested, on the night of his arrest. And he prays, "Father, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God." Okay, so in his prayer, Jesus appeals to the Father. And he acknowledges that the Father is the only true God. And he says that knowledge relates to eternal life. He says, "Father, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Can we see how Jesus differentiated himself from the only true God? Having eternal life involves the knowledge of two separate beings. One, the only true God, the Father. And secondly, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, whom God sent. And of course, to be sent in the biblical meaning means to be authorized and equipped, empowered by God, just like God sent Moses and God sent his prophets. But again, in this verse, the Gospel of John, which is supposed to be the gospel that is the main one that shows that Jesus is God, Jesus himself calls himself a man, John 8:40, and he says that the only true God is the Father. Jesus differentiates himself from the only true God. He says he's sent by the only true God. And this aligns with the author of the Gospel of John's purpose statement. In John 20, verses 30 and 31, he doesn't say that he wrote the gospel so that you would believe that Jesus is God. Quite the contrary. The author said he recorded the signs, the miraculous deeds that Jesus did, so that his readers would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. He doesn't say he wrote down these miraculous signs so that you would believe that Jesus is God, that he's another divine figure that's eternally coexistent with the Father or something like that. or that Jesus is one of the three divine persons who've always coexisted as a triune being. No, the author of the Gospel of John says he recorded the signs that Jesus did so that his readers would believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. So John 17:3, from the mouth of Jesus of the Gospel of John, we have testimony that the only true God is the Father. Will we listen to the Jesus of the Gospel of John, or will we listen to later century interpreters who say differently than the Jesus of the Gospel of John? Yishma'u anavim v'yismachu. The humble will hear and rejoice.